of yesterday, discussing the Machlokes Rashi and the Ritva, just what exactly is the case of Eved Kenani. According to Rashi, Eved Kenani was presupposing there was a mean of shlichus. Without a shlichus, as long as we discussed, but the Ritva learned the exact opposite. The Ritva learned is dafka without a shlichus. If there's a shlichus, then it's not necessary to even invoke the din of Eved Kenani. We pointed out that why is it so poshut according to the Ritva that if it's derech shlichus, it's not necessary to invoke Eved Kenani. So we connected this to the whole theory that the many Rishonim had in different contexts, that Shluch Shalom Kamosa means a lot more than we thought it meant. Shluch Shalom Kamosa means not only is the Maisa Mesiachres, but the very guf almost is Mesiachres, or at least the moment is Mesiachres. That whenever the Halacha requires that Baal HaChalos owns something, whether it's the ring for Kedusha, whether it's the paper and the ink for the get, so the ownership of the Shaliach can suffice. So therefore the Ritva understood that Imtum Tzolayim, that Eved Kenani is presupposing Shlichus, then there would be absolutely no need for Eved Kenani. Shlichus would have done the trick by itself. Not with the fact that the ring is not the Shlich, it's not the Mishlech, who cares, as long as it's the Shlich. So that was like a double Poshut Ad Ma'oi that we assumed yesterday, and I don't understand the Ritva. And we also pointed out that there's another major Nakuda Samachlokes here in the Rishonim, in terms of if you hold that it's not working there are Shlichus, so how is it working exactly? Are you talking that somebody can mekadesh somebody else for another person? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Taka, that's what the Rashba said. The Rashba said it has to be shlichus. Without shlichus, it's not negotiable. So the Ritva, the Shittoso, later on in Daf Mem Daled, where the Ritva does invoke the principle of Zoch Lenu Shlo B'Fanav, there is that tricky Gemara about Atzir Aitze Kamei, which could go either way, that the Ritva learned the Gemara Kipshuto, that it is feasible, it is possible to have Kedushin with no minish lichus. The best you have is zechiyah, and that's okay. Zechiyah would work. So we put all the pieces of yesterday's puzzle together, and we came up with the following conclusion: that the same Ritva who didn't want to go down the route of shlichus does go down the route of zechiyah. And the question becomes: wait a second. If what prevented the Ritva from applying shlichus is because then Eved Kenani would be superfluous, because the moment HaShaliach is the moment of Mishaleach, so why don't we say the exact same svar, the identical svar vis-a-vis Zechiah, and say that, well, what do you need Eved Kenani for? The Ritva is guilty of overkill. You never need Eved Kenani. If it's derech shlichus, then you don't need Eved Kenani. Even if it's derech Zechiah, you don't need Eved Kenani, because after all, isn't Zechiah just a fancy form of shlichus? Isn't Zechiah mitam shlichus? Isn't Zechiah just mean that it's a shlichus without a mean of shlichus? Isn't that equation true? And the premise of our question was, yeah, of course that equation. Everybody knows Zechiah is mitam shlichus, right? Doesn't everybody know that? So if Zechiah is mitam shlichus, so then lechora the Ritva is a stir b'nei ubei, because the same concern the Ritva had by invoking shlichus, thereby making Eved Kenani superfluous, that same, that identical problem exists once you invoke Zechiah. So how do you get around this problem? So at the very, very end of the show, we said the easiest way out of this problem is to say Zechiah is labitam shlichus, say that in achinami, that Zechiah and shlichus are really not connected to one another, really two totally different parshias. Shluchos shalom kemoisai, but not zechus shalom kemoisai. That for medrash mamurim, that the Ritva would argue that the mamon hashaliach is the mamon mishaleach, that's true by shlichus, but by Zechiah, you would never say such a svar by Zechiah. And that's tantamount saying once you draw a separation, once you differentiate between shlichus and zechiah, so you're basically planting the Ritva firmly squarely into the camp of those who show that zechiah is labitam shlichus. So are we okay with that? We have to really be certain about that. So the only way we can be certain about that is to look and see what does the Ritva to say about this topic and other Ritvas throughout Shas. So I guess the bad news is Shas is a big place to look. It's not bad news, it's just the reality. The good news is that it's not that far away. It's less than 40 blot away. It happens to be in the set of Berachot Maaseiach Kedusha where the Ritva does actually weigh in on the topic. And for a nice change of pace, it actually says what we want him to say, what we expect him to say. So we're going to breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief. Let's just appreciate for a moment how significant this discovery of this other Ritva is all about in terms of impacting our sugya. So let's put our sugya hold just for a moment, because everything is now hinging upon Zechiah, yes, shlichus, or Zechiah, la mitam shlichus. We don't know which is the correct box, and we are hoping and praying the Ritva is going to be on the Zechiah la mitam shlichus, because otherwise the Ritva is going to be problematic. So Baruch Hashem, the good news, as we said, is the Ritva does end up in that team. The context of the Ritva is the Gemara later on, Daf Mem Beis in Kedusha, very, very famous Gemara. The Mishnah tells us there's no shlichus shluch sam kibbutzai. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. If you were writing a Gemara, what would be your first question on the Mishnah? They're not immune. They know from where to come. Nobody would have to say it. You'd have to be crazy to say it on your own. The baseline is there's no such thing as shlichus. I mean, even Rabbi Yitzchak will tell us that. Everybody knows there's no such thing as shlichus. So menon imili v'ishtei in the chumash. The Gemara works really, really, really hard. The Gemara has, we know the famous makoros. Come on, let's rattle them all quickly. Come on, luchadar. What are some of the famous makoros for shlichus? Karban Pesach's one, v'shachtos. What's another one? Truma, gamatem, gamatem. What's another one? V'shilcha, v'beisel. The Gemara says the extra, hey, v'shilcha, v'beisel. Hold drashas, and daf memal from a Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara finds another possibility. The Gemara says, how do you know there's a parish of shlichos? So the Gemara, I don't know if I put that. I put the Gemara, just put the Ritva, I don't remember. Both, great, even better. Okay. So the Gemara on Daf Mem Bei says, how do you know there's a din of shushlom kimmel? So, the Yomar of Gila Merav, the nine shushlom kimmel, the Shinemar, the nosi echad bimate. Pasuk says in Parashas Maaseh that when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so it wasn't a hefgevelt. It had to be done with a little bit of seder. So you got a lot of land, and you got a lot of people. So Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by the Rebbe Shlom to appoint Nesiim, to appoint people. Each one's going to be in charge of dividing up the property appropriately, which family gets this, who gets this, etc. That was the job of the Nesiim HaMatis. So comes the Gemara and says that what the Nesiim, in effect, were doing was the Nesiim were, in a certain sense, that the Nesiim were this Nasi, I'm picking this field on behalf of the Cohn family, but they don't get Nachla, on behalf of the Epstein family. And then I'm going to pick this one on behalf of the Bernstein family. And then this one on behalf of the good name? The Goldberg family. Get all the good Ashkenazi names. And we have to be fair. So I'm going to pick this one on behalf of on the Dweck family. This one on behalf of the Ben Zakan family. I don't know, again, we'll find that everyone's happy. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. All's well that ends well. Okay? So the Gemara says that was almost like a shtichos shlichos. So the Gemara says, shlichos? Nah, that wasn't shlichos. I'll prove it wasn't shlichos. Faktanim labnei shlichos dinim. When the Nesiim were dividing up Eretz Yisrael, they were being zoiche. Even on behalf of some katana, there were some people whose fathers had died, and now they were getting the Yerusha, it's a whole sugya in Bava Basra, who exactly was divided, was the Dorboya Oretz, the Dorboya Mitzrayim, a very complicated, convoluted way of dividing up the Yerusha Eretz Yisrael, but it was possible that at the time of Bias Haaretz, so there were people who were katana, who were engaged by Mitzvah, they were getting a share. So now we got these little, what are those names again? These little Goldbergs, little baby Goldberg, and a little baby Dweck, and a little baby whatever it was. And how can that work? Everybody knows that you can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan. That's the ABCs. You can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan. What's fascinating is that the Gemara, a lot of things fascinating. One of the fascinating things is the Gemara never says, how do you know that? The Gemara says, like, oh, of course you can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan. How do you know? Not 100% clear how you know that, but that's a given. You can't be a shliach on behalf of a katan. So comes the Gemara and says, so what does Nasi Echad mean? So the Gemara says, it can't mean based in Shlichus. It must be based on Chiyah. It must be that, not that there was a formal Shlichus that Reuven Goldberg appointed to his Nasi to divide up to be Zoichan on his share in Eretz Yisrael. If it would be based on formal Shlichus, it would mean the Shlichus, it would fall short from the behalf of the Ketan. It must be that the Nesiim were working based on the principle of Zechiyah. After all, it's a good thing. Who doesn't want a shtickle land in Eretz Yisrael? So I want a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Gevaldik. Yeah.
I think we're just saying, we have a source of Shivas here, and this teaches us that there's Shivas for a cousin.
So that's wrong, because it can't be Shivas, because we know there's no Shivas for a cousin.
But what do we only know from the Drasha? So
So that's why I left it very vague, because we're not learning the Sukkah of Shivas for a cousin right now. So you got to look in the notes. Why go back on Yud Tov? We learned Kiddush Nachman Beis last time, before Yud Tov was born even. I don't think you can even find those Shurim. But somewhere in the last 15 years, we spoke about it. Let's see if we spoke about it. We spoke about it many times. Good. That's a good cash. So again, so let's just go through the Shachmatai of the Gemara, right? Just to understand Mamash, each step of the Gemara. So the Gemara started and thought that this is a good mocha for Shalichus, and the Gemara hesitated and said, no, it runs short, it runs into a problem because of this technicality of Tadim. So the Gemara changed gears and said, oh, what we're really into is to be Tam Zechiyah. So now the Gemara jumps on that also. He says, no, that's not a good malchut b'zechiyah. You know why? Because it wasn't such a schus. What made it such an ayayay schus? Because you get a share in Eretz Yisrael. Imagine as follows. Here, we've been avodim to par for 2 years, 40 years in the Midbar. We come in there, 14 years we're fighting in the valley of Eretz Yisrael, and I finally get my land, and I finally get a piece delivered to me. And what do I say? I said, would you give me a piece in Be'er Sheva? It's too hot. I want something a little cooler. I like the outskirts of Yerushalayim, please. Another guy gets his gevaldik nachal aware in the Chispin. He says, what am I going to do with Chispin? It's a 16-hour bus ride to get to Yerushalayim. Can you give me something a little bit closer? One guy gets stuck in the middle of Haifa. One guy's stuck in the middle of Arad. But what am I going to do, Dimona? What am I going to do? I don't want to be here. I want an apartment in Rechavia. We're finished. Come on, where all the action is. Give me Ramat Beit Shemesh. Give me the American bubble. What do I need to leave with the Israelis for? Give me the Americans. Everyone's got a complaint. That's what the Gemara says. No one's happy. So it's not about such a big schus. The Gemara says, you're right. Taka can't be working based on Zachan either. So what's it based on? A whole new parsha. This is the source of the parsha of Apotropis, the Gemara says. A different parsha, the Gamre. Nothing to do with Shlila, to do with Zechia. Not our sugya right now. So we're just picking up on the flow of the Gemara. First, the Gemara said that it's based on Shlichos, and the Gemara rejected that because en Shlichos the Ketanim. And then the Gemara says it's based on Zechia. And what did the Gemara not reject it? For what reason did the Gemara not reject it? What did the Gemara not say? Why did the Gemara just scream on the spot and say that's the most ridiculous mocha here? Because the same way that you just disqualified it being a mocha for Shlichos, ain't Shlichos Lektanim, ain't Zechia Lektanim. Zemin Fundo, what do you see from here? From the fact that the Gemara did not reject this pasuk as a mocha for Zechia, except for the fact that people are kvetching and they don't want to be stuck in the middle of nowhere. If not for that problem that this wasn't a schus, the Gemara would have been okay with this pasuk serving as a mocha for Zechia, even though we know that ein shlichos nektanim, what halacha, what din d'oraisa can we extract from this shach that the Gemara, from the question that the Gemara didn't ask? Like Reb Chaim used to say, you can learn a lot from what the Rambam didn't say, from the fact the Gemara didn't ask that kasha. So come a whole group of rishonim who say, you see from here that the Gemara had no qualms with Zechia for a katan. You can be Zechia for a katan. There's nothing wrong with being Zechia for a katan on a level of the Araisa. I can invoke Zechia and Amishlo Befanav on behalf of a katan. Shlichus no, Abba Zechia yes. So one of the many Rishonim who makes that deal, which seems very clear in the Gemara, is who? Happens to be the Ritva. But then the Ritva formulates for us, and what does that mean? Now that I just explained that to you, now that I was just Medayik, this Din D'Araisa, but on the one hand, ein shlichos on behalf of a katan, but yesh zechia lekatan. What proof do you? This was the Gemara's question, and this was what the Gemara didn't ask. So a combination of these two statements, the Ritva says that these two dinim deraisa of ein shlichos lekatan, yesh zechia lekatan, that now results in the following formulation. If you had to describe these two dinim, put it into some kind of halachic lingo. What's the lingo that you would use? What's the catchphrase? What's the soundbite you would use to describe these two halachas? Give me a really fast. I want just a quick email, you know, a quick text. What? Zechia is lamitam shlichus. That's what the Ritva. The Ritva formulates that phrase and says, this explains this phenomenon. Everyone see the Ritva? Meha shaminan, zakh the Ritva. Tizchia enemy din shlichus klal. If I'm wrong, Zakti Ritva, a kate name of a tisva deschi, as chimidin shlichus, a kate name shlichus. Alavada kediamron, Zakti Ritva, I'm right. And the Ritva thereby is one of that group of Rishonim who formulates the principle called Zechia Lamitam Shlichus as an explanation of these two halachas. But then the Ritva turns around and says, about the tesis kosvu, that's not true. Taisa said it's not true. The whole thing is not true. What's not true? That the din is, says Taisa, but all the dust settles, the din is, that guess what? Ein Zechia Lekatan. So why didn't the Gemara ask that? Why didn't the Gemara jump on it? Why didn't the Gemara go wild the same way the Gemara went wild about Shlichus? But the Ron elaborates a little bit more what Tosfos is driving at. The Ron in Sefer HaKiddushin says that the Gemara thought, at the point when the Gemara thought that this is the source for Zechiah, the Gemara was willing to entertain the possibility that the Ritva is right. The Gemara couldn't have jumped and say, what are you talking about? You're crazy. There's no Zechiah for Ketanim. That wouldn't have been a fair question. To say, what are you crazy? There's no Shlichas for Ketanim. That everybody knows. Nobody in their right mind, nobody Moshe would ever say that maybe the Shlichas for Ketanim. Come on, everybody knows that's silly. Right? So the Gemara wasn't bothered. When the Gemara asked Akasha, the Gemara wasn't hesitating. But to jump on the Gemara and say that, oh, by the way, the makor of this pasuk is for Zechiah, and for the Gemara come forward and say, wow, are you crazy? Ain't Zechiah l'ktanim. The Gemara may have turned around and challenged us and said, wait, and who told you it's not Zechiah l'ktanim? Maybe Zechiah is l'apitam shlichas. Maybe the Ritva is right, in a sense. So the Gemara didn't want to go down that route. The Gemara didn't know that was such a great kasha. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. So the Gemara asked the better kasha. What's the better kasha? The guy who's in Be'er Sheva doesn't want to be in Be'er Sheva. That's a good kasha. That really undermines the entire mokor by highlighting that's not as chus altogether. In theory, I'll leave it to Emes. Could the Gemara have asked the other kasha? It could be, but it wouldn't have been such a bomb kasha. The Gemara didn't want to waste its time by asking kashas that could have easily been deflected. But says Taisha, says the Rambam, all the dust settles. Acharei kechlei sakol. What is the din? The same way there's no shlichas v'ktanim, there's no zechiah v'ktanim either. Why? What's the soundbite of Tosfos? What's the soundbite of the Rambam? What's the other approach saying? If you really truly hold that ain shlichas l'katan, and you really truly hold ain zechiah l'katan, what does that translate to mean? Hayyitzim in advarim is what? That zechiah is what? It's b'tam shlichas, that the dinim are in fact identical. So, notwithstanding the Ritva's way of reading the Gemara, there are the Rishonim disagree, Tosfos disagrees, there are Gedolei Rishonim who disagree. And the whole Machlokes ultimately revolves around what you really truly think about Zechiah for Katan. If you really truly believe that Yeh Zechiah the Katan, so then you are by definition saying Zechiah is Labitam Shlichus. If you really believe that Ain't Zechiah the Katan, so what you're really saying is Zechiah is Bitam Shlichus. So the ultimate test in the laboratory, whether conceptually Zechiah is Bitam Shlichus or not, boils down to one test. Yeh Zechiah the Katan, Ain't Zechiah the Katan. That's all there is right no more. So Baruch Hashem ended up in the right team. The Ritva would have ended up with Tosfos. We didn't know what to do with ourselves. But Baruch Hashem, the Ritva ended up in the right team. I mean, far be it from us to pose this question, but we're just going to pose it, Derech Halibud. Who's right? Is this Chiyah for Katan or not? Nobody in Shas talks about it. Everything is hinging upon a half deal from a Gemara. The Gemara could have said, should have said, would have said, didn't say, didn't say that. The whole Shtickel Torah, everything, you could talk about Shchivat HaShtickel for 6 months. Everything is hinging upon that the Gemara could have asked the question, is there anything more befeirish? Anyone remember what happened in the few days? John, remember?
How would you do that? The Torah is not going to be hold that.
Start again. If you hold that.
Yeah,
if you hold that, the Torah is not going to work with the Raisa. So how could that work? Because you are convinced that Das Chas Maknos is a subcategory of Zechiah, right? No. I'm talking what you think. You think, in your question, you were thinking that Das Chas Maknos is a Zechiah, namely, it's not really a Zechiah. Zochin usually means I pick up this gift on behalf of Reuven. Here, I'm giving Reuven the gift. It's just that Reuven is a Katan. So I'm not doing Zechiah on behalf of the Maiseh, I'm doing Zechiah on behalf of the Das. So I'm being Zechiah. I'm providing my daf of Reuven the Katan. So you're learning that's also a shtickel din of Zachar and Shlomo Fanov, like the Rambam. You're not in such bad company. The Rambam says that Fair Shukh is Mechira. So John is asking if you hold that Das Chas Maknos is Diraisa, and if you hold that Das Chas Maknos works Bitam Zechiah, and if you hold that Zechiah is Bitam Shlichos, so that's a checkmate. You're 100% right. You can't hold all of those above. So either you have to hold Zachar and Shlomo Fanov. Either you have to hold that Das Chas Maknos is only Midir Rabbanon, or you have to hold like the Tzais, the Das Chas Maknos is not based on Zochim, it's based on the non-essential Das Kainah. We spoke about that in the past. You don't really need Das Kainah. Did we talk about this?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, this Rambam Tzais, we've spoken 100 times in the last 15 years, right? So something's got to give. You're right. You created a checkmate. You're right. But we can move. It's not really a checkmate. I'd still stick that king out of the way. Stick the other guy in. I'll move it around. Okay, everybody, so get back to the story. So I need a Gemara. I need a proof. I need a proof for the Gemara. Yes, there's no Gemara all the Shas Bavli. Nowhere. I'm not going to touch on Yerushalmi. Just Talmud Bavli. There's no Gemara all the Shas Bavli that has anything to say about this topic. But the Yezik, the Rishonim made it up. All of a sudden, the days until the Ritva, till the Middle Ages in Spain, nobody thought about this topic. Whether the Yezik Chil cut it or not. So this is Gemara Feirish Gemara. But we see that by an Aleph. Black and white in the middle of Ezra Neshech. There's not a good reason why most people don't remember today's Neshech. Most people probably point to Ezra Neshech. They don't know what's coming or going anymore. They're just waiting to start a Perkei Seichus and running. They're just getting drowning in Ezra Neshech. But right smack in the middle of Ezra Neshech, the Gemara says, Pem Mole, absolutely crystal clear, black and white, Yei Zechiyah L'Katan. Yes, there is an institution called Zechiyah on behalf of Katan. That's the clear part of the Gemara. The ambiguous part of the Gemara is the next word. So there are two different yourselves in the Rishonim, what the next word in the Gemara is. One group of Rishonim say the next word is Yeschil Katon, and then the Gemara talks about the next topic, starts a new topic. And there's one other group of Rishonim who says Yeschil Katon Midrabanan. That means really, truly, in the heart of hearts, there's those Zechiyah for Katon. But Nebuch, to make life easier for the Ketanim, so we instituted make-believe Zechiyah L'Katan Midrabanan. But really, truly, Min HaTorah, it doesn't exist. A small word, Midrabanan, five, six letters, makes no difference. What's the difference? What's the difference? It changes everything. You know, usually it's something deraisa, but it doesn't make that much of a difference. And we observe, you know, we put on tefillin deraisa, and we read the Megillah deraisa, and you know, we keep Shabbos deraisa, we like Chanukah deraisa, you know, we don't think that much deraisa deraisa. It only starts to excite us when you have sveikis and katan bimoti gadol, you know, it starts to become labedik. Here, that word deraisa changes radically the entire concept on the tape. If the word derabanan exists in the Gemara, then the Gemara is in effect saying that tchiyah is mitam shlichus. The midaraisa doesn't exist. If the word derabanan doesn't exist in the Gemara, so then the Gemara is saying midaraisa it's going to work and tchiyah is lo mitam shlichus. That changes everything under the sun. So again, Baruch Hashem that the Ritva ended up in the right team and we don't have to do any acrobatics anymore. We're okay. The Ritva, and again, what are you studying your Ritva and Davzayin? Because we had, again, we learned Davzayin, so we saw the Ritva's Psha. We know why the Ritva veered from Rashi, because Imtim Tzalam Ritzner Shlichos, that Eva Kedai is superfluous. The Ritva invokes, the Ritva later on Daf Mem Daled explains that Gemara in effect based on Zechiyah. So we pose the problem, if Zechiyah is Mitam Shlichos, so then the same way that Eva Kedai is superfluous for Shlichos, it's superfluous for Zechiyah as well. So we answered Baruch Hashem, the Ritva is on the team of Zechiyah, La Mitam Shlichos. Everyone's happy, everyone's good, right? Shalom Yisrael, okay? I have this tremendous Yetzirah. I have to do the acrobatics anyway, even though I don't need it for the Ritva. But I don't want to commit what I'm saying on Dav Zayin Dafka to the Shittas of Ritva that Zechiyah is La Mitam Shlichus. I want to say, it can be suggested that you could learn Dav Zayin like the Ritva, like many Rishonim who did buy into the Ritva, and not be married to Zechiyah La Mitam Shlichus. I want to walk a tightrope, and the tightrope I want to walk is as follows. I want to say what sounds like the impossible. I want to say that Zechiyah is yes, mitam shlichus. They're identical. Zechiyah is mitam shlichus. But af al pichein, lagabe this prat of is the money belong to the shaliach, belonging to the shaliach? The answer is in shlichus, the answer is yes, and the effort of a kanani is superfluous. And Zechiyah, the answer is no, and the Eva Kedai would be necessary. So I want to have my cake and eat it. I want everything. We're going for broke. I want the Ritva's Pshat and Dav Zayin, and I still want to be able to learn Zechiyah's Mitam Shlichus. I don't want to be bound to the Ritva. Now again, I'm saying this honestly. If I wouldn't have been intellectually honest, I wouldn't have quoted you the Ritva and Daf and Beis. I would have told you, oh, we have to save the Ritva, and I would have presented it as like a rescue mission to save the Ritva. So the Ritva, Baruch Hashem, is safe. He's doing well, Baruch Hashem. He's been doing well for quite a couple hundred years. The Ritva is fine. He has nothing to worry about. We're in trouble. We want to have everything. That's it. We live in a society, you have to have everything. You have to be right according to everybody. So I want the Ritva to be right in Dav Zayin, even in the world of Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus. That's what I want. Sounds like a little bit too much. We're asking for. But Tayyur Hilam de Nitzarach. No choice. We have to solve this problem that doesn't exist. We have to make Dav Zayin work, even according to the Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus people. So I don't know whether I would have gone down this route, because it's not necessary for Das HaRitva, but I'm going to do it anyway. First of all, I can't control myself, I have to do it. But number two, I'm going to do it because I'm going to use this as an opportunity to teach a little bit something about Tchim Mitam Shlichus. What it does, or perhaps what it doesn't mean. So when we opened up the sugya Tchim Mitam Shlichus, Am Tam Shlichus yesterday, so I asked you to describe to me, what do you think Tchim Mitam Shlichus means? Well, everyone pretty much said the same thing, because they didn't listen to those who said something else. So tell me, now what do you think it means? And I just throw this, you know, a very, very basic, superficial level, what does the Tchim Mitam Shlichus mean? I'd say nothing. I would say that, what is Shlichus? Shlichus is when Reuben's doing something on behalf of Shimon, and Shimon told him to do it. Tzchiyah is Reuben is doing something on behalf of Shimon. Shimon didn't tell him, but we could probably assess, pretty certain, that Shimon would have told him, would have known about it. That's probably what Tchim Mitam Shlichus means. Comes the Ktzois and says, that is not correct. That is not what Tchim Mitam Shlichus means. Even within the Rishayim, we said Tchim Mitam Shlichus, that's not what it meant. And I'll prove to you, says the Ktzois, that's not what it meant. It cannot be the formulation we just presented of, well, Shimon didn't know about it all along, but if he would have known about it, he would have been okay. And then next week when he finds out about it, he's going to be happy. So in effect, we say retroactively he was happy all along. That's the route that you guys were going down. That's what we thought Tchim Mitam Shlichus means. Says the Ktzois, that is wrong. That is an absolute incorrect presentation of Tchim Mitam Shlichus. Anyone know why? It just challenges us. Challenges that superficial understanding of Tchim Mitam Shlichus. Anyone here ever been in sixth grade? Anyone over here went to a little yeshivish school? A little bit more charedish school? What'd you learn in sixth grade?
Not good.
Oh, come on. What'd you learn in fifth grade? There you go. Fifth grade, I'm sorry. Okay. I should have asked fifth grade. Okay? What? Who here learned Yalom Tzias in elementary school?
I went to Israel. I've gone to Israel for the year.
You're in Israel for the year. Okay. Who here learned? What do you think? Moed, relaxed, you know, chilled out, you know. It's purely a function of where you went to school. So in the yeshivish places, they throw you right into Yalom Tzias, followed by a mafkid, usually followed with a kindness or something, you know, but that's what you did. You get to that, they throw some, you know, the real Nashim and Ezekiel stuff at these 10-year-olds who have no idea what's going on, right? And then to make matters worse, and better or worse, in the summer, when they need a little something toned down, so they teach them in case they ate Nas and Zoyman every summer for 6 summers. And they never get to Daf Gimel, because the counselor really has no idea what it means in Daf Gimel. He doesn't know what Shaman HaSeksuba means. So the hope is that he's never going to get there anyway, and they stop from the beginning the following year. That was my experience in camp. Okay. Anyway, Rabbeisai, what's the first sugi in Yalom Tzias? Well, not literally the first, but the first sugi that takes up till January? That doesn't take till January. That takes the first day. Yer Shalom Midas, okay? All right, depending which part of Europe you come from, whether it's Yer Shalom Midas or Yer Shalom Midas. But Yer Shalom Midas, not the Kutzkes version. The Kutzkes say, Yush, a guy's Messiah in life. Shalom Midas, that shows you're a lot by Das, you're giving up on life. But that's not the shot. Yer Shalom Midas means that I lost something, and Lu Yitzhi, I would have known that I lost it. I never would have bothered to retrieve it. Anyway, I never would have thought I could get it back. It doesn't have a simon. It never can be. Never lost a needle in a haystack. I'm never going to find it again. The problem is I don't know that I lost it yet. But in terms of Lima, that I would know that I lost it, I would be Misyayish. And Horaya, in a month from now, when I find out that I lost it, I attack at Misyayish. The problem is that somebody else in the interim found it before I actually found out that I lost it. So I lost it on Monday morning, somebody picks it up on Tuesday morning, and then I find out about it on Wednesday morning. So the guy who picks it up on Tuesday, is he chayev HaShavas HaVeida or not? So the cloud gold on HaShavas HaVeida is, this week's Parsha. You have to, it's the mitzvah HaShavas HaVeida. Parsha's Kiseitza, Hashem Teshivu Me'achicha. So Kol Zman that the owner has not been Misyayish, there's a mitzvah HaShavas HaVeida. Kol Zman the Bailam have been Misyayish, so there's no mitzvah HaShavas HaVeida. Those are the ABCs, that's like the first mitzvah, that's the first day of school. Of course, If there's no Yish, then there's mitzvah Shabbos. If there is Yish, there's no mitzvah. Why is that? You got to go back to sixth grade to figure out where Yish comes from. Not for now. You're probably not going to find it out in sixth grade either, but you learn the whole year about Yish, but nobody ever explains to you, so tackle why does it work? Where does it come from? Pella, right? Okay. Not for now. Yish Lomidas. What does the Bai say? Lo have a Yish. Not a good Yish. How do we paskin? Strangely enough, Abai, this is one of the big six. We were one of the big Yalchagams. I've told all this story before. But one year, we were learning about one of the Yalchagams. So I just threw out a question. I said, who here could rattle off all the Yalchagams quickly? There was one guy in the back of the shir. The guy was not from the Mitzionim, Shev Mitzionim. He was half asleep. It was before the computers. But if he would have had a computer, he would have been on his computer doing something else. If he would have known he had a computer, he would have been more friendly. So he was sitting in the back. He was mom's half asleep. I hadn't heard from him the entire year. He came to think of shit. Came to think of shit. Bookie was there that day. And I said, no, who can rattle up? The kid got up in 1 second, like in his sleep. He set off each of the Yalchagams. So yesterday afterwards, my high. I didn't say it was that lush. I was like, well, what's going on? So he said to me, Rebbe, he said, I grew up for a couple of years. My parents were in Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael for a couple of years. And for whatever reason, they sent me to a mamash, like a real heavy-duty charedi cheder. I don't know exactly why I went. You can see I'm not exactly that type right now, but in my years, fifth grade, sixth grade, I went like some real heavy-duty Rishami cheder. And he said, and we had to know everything about Pep. We had to know everything. So it's just, yeah, mom is stuck. So something I remember, the Yalchagams, I could say in the middle of the night. So she said, anyway, I'm not going to challenge anybody, including Bin Yamin, to rattle off to, we're not going to comment on the degree of cheder that you went to. What?
I didn't go to cheder.
You didn't go to cheder? Okay. But whatever it is, bottom line is, Kum Tuk Tzoyis and says, we possibly could buy that Yush L'Midas L'Havi Yush. So what does that mean, Yush L'Midas L'Havi Yush? What do the words mean? Listen to what Yush L'Midas L'Havi Yush means. Right now, I don't know the facts. I'm unaware of the fact that I lost something. If I would have known, I would have been happy. When I find out, I am in fact happy. What does Abai say? That finding out does not impact retroactively on the moment that I lost it, but rather all it means is that's very nice from here on in, I'm misyayish. The problem is that the other fellow picked it up before that moment of Yush. What Yush Lomidas basically means is that we don't say, coin a phrase, you don't say Michusel and Afreya. You don't say because a person, if he would have known, would have been happy, and then when he finds out he is happy, that Michusel only goes Mikal Hapa, doesn't go to Afreya. That's a Bayez Lomidas. You can't say Michusel and Afreya. Lest you think that Abaye was talking about some prat, some detail, didn't prat in Nuchas HaShavas Aveda, I challenge you to open up the first daf in Elamitzias and you come to the realization that the Gemara asks from the Machlekes Abaye and Rava to some of the most strangest other areas of Halacha. The Gemara compares us, who remembers some of the comparisons of the Gemara? Machlekes Abaye and Rava, the Gemara jumps from this to Hafrashas Truma, from this to who remembers? From Hechsher of Eichlin, if you didn't know that the food got wet, but if you would have known, you would have been happy. All these wild areas, they call it their cool, the Gemara starts jumping and mixing and matching. What do you see clear from the Gemara? That the Machlekes Abaye and Rav is not a Hashavas of Eidim Machlekes. It's a halachic assessment of Nichus L'Mafreya. What does the Torah Kedoshia say about this concept of Nichus L'Mafreya? Does the Torah recognize it, or does the Torah not recognize it? That's really all it is. With many, many applications. Comes the Tzais and says, if you're going to tell me that Zechim Itam Shlichus means that I didn't know the guy was picking up the present on my behalf, but if I would have known, I would have been happy, and now when I find out I am happy, so therefore in my prayer we say I was happy all along, that would be a great principle according to who? According to Rava. But according to Abaye, it can't be. According to Abaye, there's no way in the world we can formulate Zechi as being a Nechusel in my prayer. Because if it's a Nechusel Mafreya, then it falls right smack into the Machlekes Abaye and Rav. This is one of the Yachagams. We don't paskin like Rav on this one. So the Ketzoy says nobody could ever define Zechim Itam Shlichos as being based on the way we formulated it a few minutes ago. It has to be something radically different, because otherwise it's going to fly right into the face of Yirsh Lamidas Lavi Yirsh. So comes the Ketzoy says, so what, assuming it's true, assuming against the Ritva, like Taisus, so what is it if it's not that? Says the Ketzoy, all it means is as follows. Shlichus means that there are two different parshas in the Torah. One is called Shlichus, learned out from its Pesukim. One is called Tchiyah, whatever the marker for that is. There are two different halachas, the Tchiyah and the Shlichus. But if you look at them close enough, you'll come to the realization that there's a certain similarity between them. You know what the similarity is? There's really one similarity, that's all there is. Reuben's doing something on behalf of Shimon. That's the connection. You see that the Torah creates a model. The Torah creates two different parashas that Reuben can act on behalf of Shimon. Now, they're very different. One is Shlichos, one is Zechiah, but that common denominator they have. Now, we know that in Hilchos Shlichos, the Torah throws a whole bunch of conditions at us. And one of the conditions being that it's Chik v'lo Yavar, the person you're doing Shlichos for must be a Gadol. Everybody knows that. No one would ever say otherwise. No one would ever ask such a terrible question. We know that. Vada, vada, vada. We don't have to mock with, but we know vada, 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 that ein shlichus l'katan. Do we have a right to say that the details of ein shlichus l'katan learned out from Korban Pesach, learned out from Gittin, from Truma? I don't know. Rashi says one thing and the Ketzoy says something else, and everyone has what to say what the mocker is. Whatever, it doesn't matter. That's a given in halacha, that ein shlichus l'katan. Do we say that the details and the limitations of a shlichus carry over to Zechiah? We could derive the details of Zechiah from Shlichus, because they are similar in that way, in that vein, that Reuven is doing something on behalf of Shimon. Not that Zechiah is really Ke'ilu does in Chusel Mafreya, that's not what it means. All Zechiah B'tam Shlichus means, says it tells us, it's a real, real, real bust of that bubble. Zechiah B'tam Shlichus doesn't really mean it. What Zechiah B'tam Shlichus really means is that the same way that Shlichus has limitations, Mistoma, the Kavanah Satorah was, those limitations should spill over to Zechiah as well. That's all Zechiah Mitam Shlichus means, but it doesn't really mean Zechiah is Mitam Shlichus. It's really very, very different. According to that, so he says, watered down version of Zechiah Mitam Shlichus, I think that we're safe to say that we could learn the Ritva and Dav Zayin without being Meshubah to the Zechiah La Mitam Shlichus story. It could be that the emissaries we believe, Yamun Shleim, is Zechiah Mitam Shlichus. We have to ask ourselves, what does that mean? It means almost nothing. All Zechiah B'tam Shlichus means is that the same kinds of people who can't have Zechiah, Shlichus can't have Zechiah. Does that mean that they're identical? Not at all identical. Shlichus is a minui, Zechiah is not a minui. They're different parshas legamrei. They really are different parshas. They have certain very, very superficial similarities, which enables us as a mematzin or the midah shetanei, we can derive one from another. But in terms of fundamentally, are they the same? Absolutely not. Therefore, once we go down the route of the Ketzais, and we say that even within the Rishonim, that Zechiah is Tam Shlichus, we're not married to the following klal. Zocha Shaladim Kemoiso. Is there such a principle called Zocha Shaladim Kemoiso? No such animal, no such entity. Shalucha Shaladim Kemoiso. When there's a formal mina Shlichus, that creates that bond between the Mishalech and the Shliach that makes the moment of Shliach into the Mishalech. That bond, that creation, that fusing of personalities between the Mishalech and the Shliach, that's Nichlal and that Klal and Chazal, Shul Shalom Kemoisai, that was only said by Shlichus, that was never said by Zechiah. And that Chiluk is not a steer to Zechiah Mitam Shlichus, because Zechiah Mitam Shlichus never really meant all it was cut out to be in the first place. We were never really right in that all-encompassing understanding of Zechiah Mitam Shlichus. So what I'm accomplishing, I think what I'm doing, Rabbi Yisai, correct me wrong, I think we're walking the tightrope, I think we got to the other end. Because we were able to salvage the Shittas of Ritva and Dav Zayin, and not mishabed the Ritva necessarily to Zechiah Lav Mitam Shlichus. The Ritva himself holds that way, so we're okay anyway. But we could find Rishonim. Wouldn't faze me if I found Rishonim who learned like the Ritva and Dav Zayin and still subscribe to Zechiah Mitam Shlichus? I haven't looked for them yet. I haven't found, because I haven't looked. I haven't found them yet, but I would not be surprised if there are a Rishonim out there who learn like the Ritva of Zion, who are not married to the Ritva Shita about Zechiah La Mitam Shlichus. Because according to the Ketzos' new understanding, that Zechiah Mitam Shlichus is not really Mitam Shlichus. Nobody really holds Mitam Shlichus. Nobody really says Zocha Shalom Kemoiso. It's that Klal of Shluch Shalom Kemoiso that created the Ritva sheet and the Zion, that the Maman HaShalich is the Maman HaShaleach, that prat, that Nekud, the Nuch HaShalichus, does not carry over to Zechiyah, notwithstanding the quote-unquote Zechiyah Mitam Shalichus. That's what I wanted to add to this sugya. So Rabbi Sai, let's get back to our sugya again. So we have almost three ways to maneuver in our sugya. We have Rashi who learns Agamar Ishlichus. It's just plain Shlichus. If it's Shlichus, what do you need to have a K'nani for? What's the answer? No, Shlichus doesn't make the Mamana Shlichus, the Mamana Shalev. We have the Ritva who says it's like not Shlichus, because it would have been Shlichus. So then it would have been Mamana Shalech, being Mamana Shalech. But Zechiyah doesn't accomplish that feat. And now we break off the two different categories, two different roads. Why doesn't Zechiyah accomplish that feat? Either like the Ritva himself personally holds, because Zechiyah is Lamitam Shlichus. And we're suggesting, according to the Ketzais, even Zechiyah is Mitam Shlichus, that still wouldn't be able to accomplish that feat. So we still have three different Biurim in the Rishonim / Achronim / us, wherever you want to put us into this category. Three different Biurim, just how to read the Gemara. When you saw the Gemara of Zion, everyone realized the Rashi, the Ritva, two ways of reading the Ritva, right? Yeah.
Well, why would you say that? Thing that makes it kamoso is the minor shlichus.
Oh, so that's almost what I'm saying. In effect, that what creates that magic of kamoso is the minor. Without the minor, you can't have that magic. Right? Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The term
that runs
like yada
ripta,
like things like that.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I'm saying. You're putting a lingo onto a little bit of a connection onto what I'm saying. Right? I think so. I think you're right. Of course, you're saying what I'm saying. I think you're right. Okay. Good. Bye, say. One thing that seems to be crystal clear from the sugya is that Evet Kenaini kicks in where Shlichus failed us. Either it failed us like the Ritvokas, it didn't exist in the sugya, or it failed us because according to Rashi, Shlichus just can't accomplish Kemoso literally to make the Mamar Shlech and Mamar Shalech. But Evet Kenaini can do wonders. Evet Kenaini changes. Well, that's the Chiddush of Evet Kenaini, that it's in his own world. Evet Kenaini can create a Kinyan Kesef, and presumably not bound by the rules of Shlichus, it works its own 2 feet. A whole new parasha in the Torah called Parashas Evet Kenaini. But once we've discovered this grandiose parasha called Evet Kenaini, Rava's Gevaldike Chiddush, Rava was learning Chumash, so he got to the parasha. This week's parasha is more Evet Ivri than Evet Kenaini, but we got the parasha's Bahar, so he saw the Dimur Evet Kenaini. Or really more correctly, he got the parasha's Kedoshim, and he saw there's a principle of Shichur Evet Kenaini Ayde Kesef, a Hafte Lone of Dasa, Pidyon Ayde Kesef. Rava, when he learned Chumash Pashas Kedoshim, he saw those words of Hafte Lone of Dasa, and he started to think. So wait a second, what do you mean Ayde Kesef? Who's going to give the cash? Where's this cash coming from? So Rava didn't think of his cash. The Tanoim already has his cash. Yeah? So the Tanoim said, you're right, Kesef Adechim. Someone else is going to come up with the cash. So Rava said, ooh, someone's going to come up with the cash? What happened? Isn't this a Kenyan Kesef? How could someone else give the cash? Zetman Fedok, Kenyan Kesef can be done without the kind of giving the cash. That was Rav's Chiddush and Davzai. It all comes to the Psukim. Everything comes. Psukim and Chumash, Vafdil and Avdasa. That's the source for Kiddush Davzai. You just have to look here. If you learn Chumash properly, you'll see it all there. They say from the Goyim, the end of his life, the Gra just would sit and learn Tanakh all day. He didn't know it as far, nothing. He sat and learned Tanakh all day. And he said that, Kol Tarku, you know how to read the Psukim properly. So you see Kol Tarku. Every Bir HaGra and Or HaChaim in your day, it's all there. You just have to know the Shtal Shavad Vahim. You have to really know how to read Psukim properly. So the Rebbe gave us Tarshim Tanimah, the Tarshim Chsav, the Tarshim Apeh, gave us all the Tarshim Apeh, and the Rebbe encoded everything into the Tarshim Chsav. You just have to be able to crack the code. So Rava cracked this code for us, Hafdei Lan of Dasa. He saw in Hafdei Lan of Dasa the source for Kedushin Ayyadei Evet Kenaini. So it sounds to us that Evet Kenaini is almost like a very, very distant cousin of Shlichus. Not even related, truthfully. Because Evet Kenaini works for Shlichus fall short. However, could one go back to the drawing board within the parish of Haftar of Dos, within the parish of Evet Kenaini, the Chiddush of Rav and of Zion, and raise another question? You know, at the end of the day, Reuven's doing something for Shimon. Right? That's what Evet Kenaini is that either Reuven's doing something for the Evet, or in the case of the Kedushin, Reuven's giving the cash on behalf of Shimon the Chosam, so Reuven is doing something for somebody else. We have other parshas in the Torah that talk about that. Reuven doing things on behalf of somebody else. What do we call that? What other parshas do we have that talk about Reuven doing things on behalf of somebody else? Shlichus and Zechiyah. So we already have a share of This is not the first time we've bumped into Klal Yisrael or Reuven Zelazeh. I mean, literally, but Reuven doing things for Shimon. Could one raise the following question? Once the Torah's Mechadish does have a Kenani, do we look at Eved Kenani almost in a bubble, in a vacuum? It's a din b'fnei atzmo. It has no relationship, living or dead, to any other din in the Torah. It has nothing to do with Shlichus and nothing to do with Zechiah. It's far away from Shlichus Zechiah as possible. Or do we say, you know, there's a pattern that's emerging here. There are different places where the Torah gives us different scenarios of people acting on behalf of other people. We find it in Parsha Shlichus. We find it in Parsha Zechiah. Now we have a third Parsha called Eved Kenani. There's a pattern developing here that our starting point, our baseline was each man for his own. You want to get married, you better do it yourself. You want to free yourself, you better do it yourself. You want to buy land, you better do it yourself. And all of a sudden the Torah is saying, no, not so poshut. You could sit back, you can go take a nap, someone could be a shaliach, someone could be a zaycha, someone could work b'tam Eved Kenani. It's possible for chalaisim to be flying all over the place. Done. Ayadecheir. Should we say that we cannot look at the world of Eved Kenani as a din? It's not a bubble, it's not in a vacuum. This is part of a pattern that's emerging. Why does that interest me? Whether this is the pattern that's emerging. Why does that interest me, Bechlal? So who remembers all of 7 minutes ago? What did the Ketzos learn Pshat in Zechiah Mitam Shlichus? What did Zechiah Mitam Shlichus really mean? Did it mean they were identical? No. But what did it mean? They were part of a pattern. Shlichus is one guy working on behalf of somebody else. Zechiah is, and once we say that Shlichus and Zechiah are part of a pattern, they're part of a whole package deal that the Torah is giving us. What was the conclusion that we drew from there? That we have a right to do what? Well, how did the Ketzos teach up Zechiah mitam Shlichus? Did we show him right? Oh, Zechiah mitam Shlichus, and therefore Katan's no good. Vishteit doesn't say that anywhere. You're right, it doesn't say it anywhere. It says that there's no Shlichus for Katan. But once you tell me that's part of a pattern, then we can derive from MNC, we can extrapolate one to another. Could we go even one step past the Ketzos? What the Ketzos did for Zechiah, we're going to do for Eved Kenani. We could say just as Shlichus, that's one model. Zechiah is another model. And even though they're not really the same underlying principle, there are differences. One place we say kemosim, one we don't say kemosim. But there are similarities, and therefore some of the psulei shlichos will spill over to become psulei zechiah. Should we go to the next step and say, Eved Kenani is also part of this package. Eved Kenani is not a dibifrei atzmai. Eved Kenani is part of the general example, multiple examples in the Torah, where the Reuven Poyel Yad Shimon. Reuven's doing things on behalf of Shimon. One time we call it Shlichus, sometimes we call it Zechiah, sometimes we call it Eved Kenani, but it's all the same type of halacha. If we're willing to identify Eved Kenani as being this type of Reuven Poyel Yad Shimon category, what may the corollary now be? What conclusion may we draw? Maybe just as the Ketzos drew the conclusion that some of the law, some of the limitations on Shlichus spill over to Zechiah. Maybe some of the similar limitations on Shlichus spill over to what? To Eved Kenani. Can somebody give me an example? Someone give me a real, live, concrete example of should this spillover happen? Or do we say, no, Eved Kenani's out of the box. Eved Kenani's a dimifnei atzmai. So one possibility would be, you don't mean Eved Kenani, means Okay. I don't mean the literal of the Eved Kenani. Let's stick the Kedushin of Zion. The different applications, Rabbis Chiddush, that within Hilchos Eved Kenani, that teaches us that every Kenyan Kesef can be done through Eved Kenani. What if I wanted to make a Kenyan Kesef, invoking the principle of Eved Kenani, on behalf of someone who's not in the Parsha Shlichus? Maybe a Katan. Give me another example. Who's another person who's out of bounds of Shlichus? A goy, a tem ka matem. Matem b'nei bris. Can I do a kinyan Eved Kenani? I want to be nice to my next door neighbor. I want to do a kinyan Eved Kenani for John. So I'm going to give cash to Reuven to be kona something on behalf of John. Is that going to work? Can I invoke Eved Kenani on behalf of a goy? So that sounds like almost identical to what the Ketzos was doing. The Ketzos took Zechiah and Shlichus, they said they're really the same, but they're close enough to extrapolate. Is Eved Kenani also close to extrapolate, or no? Adkan. Zechiah is where the buck stops here. If a Kenani is a new parasha, it's a din for the atzmo. There's no limitation to goy. It can apply easily to goy also. So what's the din? So now that we've created this new model of Eved Kenani, and we saw how far away it was from Shlichus and Zechiyah based on Rashi and the Ritva, now we're almost coming back a little bit. We're returning home for a little bit and saying, wait a second, maybe it's not as far as we thought it was. Different? Yes. But certain similarities? Also yes. So we don't know the answer to that question. Does anybody know the answer to that question? Who knows the answer to that question? Can the din of Eved Kenani work on behalf of a goy or not? Who's going to tell me? Who's got a raya? Problem is with Yesh Lichos to an Eved Kenani. Eved Kenani does actually it's more Memalef it's a Ben Bris. Because to be Shlichos, you don't need to be Yisrael, you need to be a Ben Bris. Eved Kenani has a Mila. No, who's got a Raya? No one's got a Raya. We spoke about this earlier this year. But I don't think we appreciated the background. We just spoke about it very, very quickly this year. We spoke about it befavorish this year. Can you invoke Eved Kenani on behalf of Goyanah? Good guess. Ketzai said what? Commenting on Rabbi Natam on Radaf, remember? Daf Gimel, back in the Chalif and Sugi Rabbi Natam. Remember what I'm talking about? Kufasim Chazara. Okay. Kuntz Rabbi Natam on Daf Gimel and Aleph in Maseches Kedushin, and he asked the Kasha. The Gemara had a Havamin, you can be a Kadashisha with Chalifin. Right, remember? Well, I thought, why do you want to think you're a Kadashisha with Chalifin? Come on, Chazara, come on. Why? Because what? Because kich misteyafa. You buy land with chalipin. Why can't you cash each with chalipin? In the end, the Gemara says you can't. Why not? Come on, chazar. Why can't you? Ish because gnayula Rashi is pachas Rashi or a bit of time. What? It's not kesef. It's different. So at the end of the day, nobody can say chalipin is not going to work for kedusha. We know that. But the Gemara had a fleeting havamina that maybe it does work. Maybe it could be kenzayin. The almost had the miyanis, so maybe it works. And that was based on the fact that it could be used to buy karka. And everything is hinging upon stay Ephron. What was Rabbeinu Tam's kasha? Ephron is given a what? What was Ephron? It's not goy. Was it for Unzerub? It's Anshe Shlemeinu. So what did Rabbeinu Tam say? Zemin from the what? What? What did Rabbeinu Tam say? What do you see for me? That chalipin works for goy also. I certain kinyan don't work for goy. This is not one of them. About this, come on, we had a whole shiur about this early in the year. So that was famous Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that Chalipin works, not everyone agrees, the Shach questions it, but Rabbeinu Tam with Kapaskin and Gimel Manalaf and Kedushin, that Chalipin works for a God. No question about it. Minat Torah works for a God. Rabbeinu Tam put this into practice. So Rabbeinu Tam had a, I can't say thriving business, or at least a surviving business sometimes. They didn't try to kill him, but he had a good business. What was the business? He was a money lender, Rabbeinu Tam. He would borrow money from the goyim because John didn't want to lend money to Paul. The state in the chumash achichel osashich, so you can't lend your money to a fellow brother. So when John read in his Bible, it says you can lend your money to a stranger. He says, who's the strangest person around? Rabbeinu Tam. He's so strange. He's my stranger. He's lenochi. So John's called Rabbeinu Tam the goy. That's what the pasuk is. That's the pasuk shtick. That's how the goyim are reading their Bible. Their Bible. It's our Bible. That half was ours. So, but they just misunderstood. They didn't chap. Who's the chicha? Who's the nachri? They had the whole shot right. It's the wrong people. So John wants to lend money, but ribbis to Paul. So he calls Rabbeinu Tam and says, listen, you do me a favor. I don't know if you call him Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yaakov, I don't know, whatever he called him. He said, probably not Rabbeinu, whatever he called him. And he said, listen, do me a favor. I'm going to lend you the money. And you lend the money to him. And sure, so Rabbeinu Tam used to do this, like most of the Jews did in Europe at the time. So every once in a while, Rabbeinu Tam's business dealings, he may have had some clients out of town and different types of scenarios, and he had to try to collect some of his money. So it's very tricky when you want to try to collect money and property from somebody out of town. Rabbeinu Tam was busy. He didn't have time to go schlep to Harum, running around France to collect his different chayvas, to collect his different things. Otherwise, he wouldn't have time to write taizim. If he's sitting and writing taizim, he needs some other guy. So we hire some guy, some big guy, Not one of the Balei Tosfos, a big non-Jewish guy to go. What's the problem? There's a big problem because it's not, there's a low pashut. Right? It's not so poshut at all that Rabbi Natan could appoint another name. We had John and Paul before. Who do we need? I need a guy from France. Can someone give me a French name?
Jacques.
Charlemagne. He's a king. All right. Pierre. Okay. What? Wait, hold on. So Rabbi Tom's trying to get Pierre to go collect the money. It's going to get very, very complicated. Why? Because Pierre's going to come and want money, collect the money. No one's going to deal. So what halacha do we have to invoke? Who remembers? Ksav Harsha. So Ben has to not just appoint him, you've got to mamish like almost give him almost like the modern day, what they call like power of attorney kind of a document. So the Gemara says when you write up this kind of Shtar Harsha, you have to be makde, at least part of it, to the Makabel. You have to be makde a little bit of your profits, a little bit of the property you're trying to collect, to the Shaliach, to the Morsha. Otherwise, the Morsha doesn't get into the basin. He comes into another basin, he says, I want to collect this. The basin throws him out. Labad Vam Zidiyah. So that's the whole sugi of a common defiant, not for now. So many times he used to do this. He used to appoint sometimes people to be his morshim. And Tosfos quotes in the bottom of Gimel Aleph. V'chein ha'i ragu Rabbeinu Tam ha'shloach ha'shabi ha'rav di kichavim v'yamakta b'chalipin. What kinyan would he use to be makta part of the property he's trying to collect to the Morsha? What's the easiest kinyan? Rabbeinu Kiri chalipin. Rabbeinu Tam said that's what she tells me because I hold that a goy is kind of b'chalipin. So far so good. But then Rabbeinu Tam puts the brakes on. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Who remembers? What did Rabbeinu Tam say? Who remembers? Rabbeinu Tam said be very, very careful and give him an aleph. Does it sound familiar? A little bit? Vaguely familiar? So, Rabbeinu Tam, be very, very careful when you do this. Rabbeinu Tam says, usually, a kinyan chalipin, we don't insist that the kona provides the suda for the chalipin. We do ma'isim chaliyim. We do a kinyan chalipin on behalf of people who didn't give the suda. We do the chasim all the time. We do make a kinyan chalipin on the ksuba. The kala doesn't come to the chasim's tish, at least in our circles. The kala doesn't show up for the kinyan chalipin. We do it on our behalf. How can we do that? You can do that, no problem. Says Rabbeinu Tam, what's the big deal? Rabbeinu Tam says here you got to be very, very careful. Because if you write in the Shtar Harsha that we made a kinyan chalipin on behalf of the goy, so that's going to be a problem because we can't do that. Because there's no shlichus zechiyah for goy, and that's not going to work. So therefore, make sure when you write up the document that you write that the goy himself did the kinyan chalipin. So nobody's going to look at this document in next town and say, this was an unauthorized, this was not done properly. So just make sure when you write the text that it says, the goy provided the kinyan. So he provided the suit, he gave the handkerchief, not that we provided it on behalf of the good. Ad kan to Rabbeinu Tam. So who remembers? There was a major machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim, what Rabbeinu Tam was concerned with and what his solution was. Who remembers? Machlokes, the sma and the ktsais. No, remember? Vaguely? What was the sma's kash against Rabbeinu Tam? Against the simple reading this Rabbeinu Tam. The sma said, it almost sounds for Rabbeinu Tam that it's okay for us to make the kinyan on behalf of the guy. That's not the problem. We are going to do that. We're going to give our handkerchiefs on behalf of the guy. Mm-hmm. So Rabbeinu Tam's going to get one of his tamidim, the lesbian mitzvah sitting there. Okay, he's going to give a handkerchief to Rabbeinu Tam. And here are all the players here. There's Rabbeinu Tam, there's the lesbian mitzvah's Talmud, and there's Pierre. So the lesbian mitzvah is going to give the Rebbe a handkerchief and say, Ich bin Zoich on behalf of Pierre. So Pierre can go and collect your chayvis so someone can pay the guys in the koil. We continue to write dice with him. That's what's playing out over here. So the Sma says it sounds almost from the pashtus and the superficial reading of Rabbeinu Tam that that's exactly what happened. That we're doing it, but just what are we not doing? What are we not going to do? What did Rabbeinu Tam tell us not to do? Don't write it down because it sounds like we don't know what we're doing. So the Sma says you talk don't know what you're doing. If that's what you did, you talk don't know what you're doing. Don't you know ain shlichas and tchiliyah? We can't do that on behalf of goy. A goy is claiming bechalipin if he gives the handkerchief from himself, not if we do it on his behalf. So the Sma says, Rabbeinu Tam is mamish impossible to understand. Rabbeinu Tam is saying, don't write it, shh, don't tell anybody. Like, don't tell anybody, but do it anyway. So the Sma says, that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. Rabbeinu Tam meant was, when he said don't write it, what was that tantamount to say? Don't do it. Because if you do it, you're going to goof, and the Shtar is going to be no good, and the Kinyan Chalip was no good, the Harsha is no good, and the Bezin is going to throw you out, and you're going to say, La Baldvam Zdiyat. So Rabbeinu Tam, described what not to write, what he really meant to say is he described what not to do. He said, well, so Rabbi Natan's not playing games with us. He's not telling us do one thing and write something else. So when he said don't write it, that was tantamount to saying don't do it. That was the smaller. So the Ketzois was vehemently opposed to the smash priyat. He said, no. Rabbi Natan said don't write it. He meant don't write it. You can do it. There's nothing wrong with doing it. What's the answer? What's the answer, says Akhtais? This is not Shlichus, this is not Zechia. This is what? This is Evet Knaini. Just as Rav and Dav Zion says that Reuven can give a ring on behalf of Shimon, and that's a perfectly acceptable form of Kinyan Kesef. The same is true when it comes to what? When it comes to Kinyan Chalitin. That Reuven can give a Sudar on behalf of Shimon, and that's a perfectly acceptable Kinyan Chalitin. There's nothing wrong with that Kinyan Chalitin. That's a 100% valid Kinyan Chalitin. Just that if Kiddushin works mitam Evet Knaini, then Chalitin works mitam Evet Knaini as well. And therefore, says the Ketzois, there is nothing wrong with Rabbi Lezmi Mitz handing his handkerchief to Rabbi Natan on behalf of Pierre. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you actually write in a document that's what you did, in the next town over, they may not know how to learn so well. They may not have Ketzois. They may not know that Evet Knaini works even by Goyim. Because Evet Knaini has absolutely nothing to do with Shlichus and Zechiyah Zok Ketzois. So they're going to read this document and they're going to say, we state in this document that Rabbi Lezmi Mitz made a kidding on behalf of Pierre. They're going to take the shtar, what are they going to do with it? They're going to rip it to shreds. They're going to say, this is a piece of junk. This is a piece of garbage. Because there was no kinyan chalitin done. So that's not Harsha. Harsha needs a kinyan. And this kinyan was ineffective because it was done by a Jew on behalf of a goy. So don't be foolish. Don't highlight in the shtar what you did. Because if you highlight it, then other base is not going to know what you're talking about. So therefore, a bit of time, just keep it on the hush and hush. Keep it quiet. Just write. And everything was done kedas chodin. Hakol shor v'kayim kedas moish Yisrael. Just say, everyone did under the jurisdiction of the Beis Din, Rabbi Natan, everything was done kedas chodin. Don't get into details. The more you talk details, the more trouble you're going to get into. It's a general question. When you offer a psak about something, so you have to always take into consideration what other people don't understand what you're talking about. You're going to think. So very often, the more correct approach is, just give the psak. That's it. We'll talk about the details on the side. We're not going to plaster it in the paper. We're not going to blog about it. Because once I start explaining to you why I said what I said, what's going to happen? I'm going to give this reason, and what are you going to say? But I hold like that, Rav. Like Rabbi Google. I hold like Rabbi. I hold like Rabbi Blog. I hold like Rabbi somebody. I hold for care. So that's what Benatam is saying. Just tell them the shtar is good, and they just keep quiet. Don't be a big mouth and explain the shtickle Torah, the Kanina, Rabbi Elizabeth, Mitz, the this, and we have to go, we have to Kanani, Dav Zion, quoting a Ketzois. Don't do that, says Rabbi Natan. That's what the Ketzois learns. So says the Ketzois, but Tachlis, in a heart of hearts, why does this work? How could we do an Evet Knaini on behalf of a goy? Why can we do it, says the Ketzois? Why? Why can we do this? Because Evet Knaini has, in fact, nothing under the sun to do with what? With neither Shlichus nor Zechiyah. It is the din b'fnei atzmo. It lives in its own bubble. It is not bound by the details and limitations of Echus Shlichus. Does everyone understand it's almost ironic who's telling us this? Why is it ironic who's the one who's being the chadish to us that Evet Knaini is not bound by Shlichus and Zechiyah? Huh? Who was the one who told us that Zechiyah and Shlichus are not really the same, but Zechiyah is bound by the rules and limitations? Who was the one who told us that? That was the Ketzos. What the Ketzos told us in his formulation of Zechiyah mitam Shlichus is almost 180 degrees, it's in contrast to what the Ketzos is explaining Evet Knaini. Now, it's not a kash, it's not a stira, they're two different things. But when we presented after, and we said that Reuven Paul Biat Shimon, therefore Evet Knaini has certain similarities to Zechiyah and Shlichus. Anyone remember what was my moshel? How did I introduce that side of the Chagira? Just as the Ketzos told us that Zechiyah carries some of the limitations of Shlichus too. That was how I presented that side of the Chagira. I put the Ketzos on that side of the Chagira. That was his line of reasoning vis-a-vis Shlichus and Zechiyah relationship. So I said, well, just as the Ketzos did that, let's do this also. And now we make a complete circle. The Tzais is the one who says the buck stops here, guys. That Zechia, Kenzayim, similarities to Shalichos. Evakinani, forget it. That's a din. That has nothing to do. No limitations. The sky's the limit. Goyim, Jews, you name it. Evakinani solves the world's problems. There's one Nekuda that I'm worried about this Tzais. One little tiny Nekuda. How do the Ketzos know that the parasha of Evakinani applies to Kinyan Chalipin? I needed a Meir Rava to tell me that it applies from where? To Kedushin. Because the Torah, it's all from those three words, V'haftil and V'dasa. That's all the Torah says. Everything is hinging on three words of Parshas Kedush. V'haftil and V'dasa. Rava took the leap of faith, and Rava, Ruach HaKedush, Hilgar, Meir Rava, told us, yeah, it's okay. It carries over from Evakinani to Kedushin. What, it wasn't such a leap of faith. Now we look at it in hindsight, say, wow, it wasn't such a chiddush. Because after all, there's a real similarity between Kedushin and Evakinani. What's the similarity? They're both expressions of what Kenyan? They're both Kenyan Kesef. Right? So it's not so far. What all Rava said is that all Kenyan Kesefs work alike. They're all subject to that principle of Evakinani. Once you leave the realm of Kinyan Kesef and you enter into the realm of Chalipin, that's a big chiddush. How do I know that Chalipin idea of Evakinani works? How do I know? How do I even know that? Make matters worse, what may lead me to believe that Ataka shouldn't work? Who? Not just tells us, but Rabbeinu Tam himself. Because Rabbeinu Tam was the biggest anti Chalipin Kesef equation. Rabbeinu Tam's whole pshat in the Gemara was Chalipin Islami Tam Kesef. That was the whole, that's the reason why Rabbeinu Kadesh is going to Rabbeinu Tam. So, probably the last Rishon under the sun we would expect to hear saying that, well, no problem. If Kinyan Kesef works for Evakinani, so Kinyan Kesef works for Kinyan Chalipin also works. Idea of Evakinani. Really? How can you derive Chalipin of Evakinani from Kesef of Evakinani? How does that carry over? How does that work? Chalipin is not Mitam Kesef. Isn't that a little bit chutzla machana? Isn't that too far out of the box? We have to think about the kash a little bit. We have to think a lot about a lot of things. Hopefully next year on Sunday we're going to finally finish the sugya. We'll put the final touches on the sugya, hopefully move into next sugya. We're running short in terms of chumash, so maybe next week we'll give a little more.